Hallelujah. I'm not walking alone. I don't know about you, but I'm not walking alone. I said, I don't walk alone. I don't go out alone. I don't get things done alone. I don't face the challenges of life alone. Ooh, I've got the greater one on my inside. Hallelujah. The greater one is in me. Say that after me. The greater one is in me. He's greater than every test. He's greater than every trial. He's greater than every challenge. He's greater than every mountain. He's greater than all. And he's in me. So I don't walk alone. Come on, give the Lord some praise if you believe that. Amen. I want to say a big, huge thank you to you, sir, for the privilege to be here today. I'm grateful for the invitation to come and join this lovely assembly in this program. Thank you to Pastor Bolaji, who, since the day we started talking on phone, it's been a joy to have been speaking with you and finally to meet you today. And I think I've added some weight since I got to Ibadan a few hours ago. And that is the fault of all of you in this church. You have taken too much care of me already and my wife. Amen. It's been an absolute delight and pleasure to have come in contact with you all and to have fellowship with you. It's really a joy to have my wife in this service. Praise the Lord. To be honest with you, I think in a whole year, we get to be in the same service maybe only 5 or 6 times in a year. We're hardly in the same service. If I'm in one service, it's another service. If I'm in one place, it's in another place. You know, but thank God, we're in this service together abroad in Ibadan. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to preach extra special today and teach extra special today. I'm especially anointed this evening. Yeah. Yeah, because there's one fine girl looking at me from that corner there. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you don't mind, let us have a word of prayer together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your holy written word. Thank you because the entrance of your word brings light and understanding to the simple. Thank you because light shines in our hearts today. Thank you because Jesus is revealed to us. Thank you for your truth that comes to us with power and precision. To you be all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' majestic name we prayed, and everybody said a big loud amen. Amen. Well, we're talking about life in the Spirit, and as the Spirit of God leads us, I will go. There are 3 basic things that I would like to talk about today and tomorrow. I think I'll share them into 1.5 parts. I'll talk about 1.5 today. On Sunday morning tomorrow. How many of you are excited to be here on Sunday morning? I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to some suddenlies that will happen tomorrow. Well, if you don't mind, turn with me to 1 John for the next about an hour or so. Maybe a little less, I don't know. Maybe a little more. But about an hour, we will be looking into the Word of God about life in the Spirit. Interestingly, I'm going to start with this from 1 John chapter 1. That's an unusual place to talk about that, but let's look at what the Bible says about that life in the Spirit. In 1 John chapter 1, I'll read from verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, speaking about the Lord Jesus. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Amen. This then is the message which you have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Somebody say, no darkness at all. Well, John, in his opening remarks in the book of 1 John, tells us that God has called us, you and I, including all of you here, to a fellowship. and that fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Somebody say fellowship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, because I believe that is what God wants me to emphasize in talking about life in the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians and chapter 1, verse 9, the Word of God says there that God is faithful. How many people know that God is faithful? Amen. God is faithful. How do we know He's faithful? He says, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ. You and I were born again in order to come into a fellowship with God. Our primary calling, our primary function, our primary responsibility, the reason we are children of God is that He called us into a fellowship with Himself. Amen. A fellowship with Himself, a communion with Himself. And 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 14 says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all now and forever. Jesus said in John 14, speaking about the Holy Spirit, He said, if any man love me, my Father and I will come and make our abode with him. So in Christianity, what we experience, what we are exposed to, is that God the Father and God the Son, in the person of God the Holy Ghost, makes their home in us as children of God. If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Amen. So we are called essentially into a fellowship. Jesus is speaking in John chapter 15. He said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Incidentally, there's a church like that in this city. Amen. Vine branch. Well, permit me to say it. I know Dr. Womai. Well, Jesus said He is the vine and that we are the branches. What is He telling us when He says you are the vine? And I mean, He is the vine and we are the branches in the vine. He's saying essentially that we have been called into a communion with Him that will not only last this present time, but will last an eternity. We are called into a communion. We are called into a participation. We are called into a communion, a community. That word fellowship, which is also koinonia, actually means to be called alongside with another, to participate together in the same thing. In other words, all that God the Father, God the Son, and listen to me, God the Holy Ghost, were doing from all eternity in the past, because of Jesus, they brought you and I into their fellowship. Somebody say, I'm in the fellowship. I want us to see this as broadly as possible. You see, so that when the Spirit of God stares in your heart, maybe to pray, for instance. I heard we read about praying in the Holy Ghost yesterday. Maybe to pray, for instance, you would remember that this is not just about me talking in other tongues, but this is a fellowship between me and God. He wants to do something and is calling me alongside. He's trying to get something done upon the earth and He wants me to be involved in it. In fact, this communion we have with God is so deep and so strong that one of the founders of the Methodist denomination, John Wesley, said, he said, it seems as if God will do nothing for humanity except somebody ask Him. Why would we need to ask God for things to be done upon the earth before He will do them? Into a fellowship with God. Somebody say, I'm in fellowship with God. Look at your neighbor, say, I'm in fellowship with God. I'm in a communion with God. We are called into a communion. He is the vine, we are the branches. Without Him, we can do nothing. Jesus said so, and we know that, don't we? Yeah, without Him, we can do nothing. But listen to me. That's not the end of what Jesus taught in John 15. In the same John 15, where he said, without me you can do nothing, I've called you, and I said, I've sent you that you may bear much fruits. What is he saying? He's saying, even though without me you can do nothing, without you I will do nothing. Whether we know it or not, we like it or not, we want to believe it or not, if you and I don't do what we ought to do, God can't do our part. I mean, you have a part to play in the plan and purpose of God as far as this earth is concerned, that Jesus cannot play that role. You have to play that role, or somebody else will have to play it. You see, I thought we came to talk about life in the spirit. Yes, we're talking about life in the spirit, but we have to see it broadly. We have to see it far. So when we are talking in tongues, you know, we are in communion with the Most High right now. We are in fellowship with God right now. There is something that the Father wants to do right now, and is calling me alongside to get involved in getting it done. Amen? There is somebody that is going to die if I don't take my place. There's someone that will spend eternity in hell if I don't live in the spirit. There's somebody whose child will be sick and maybe land in the hospital, and they can't help them if I don't take my place. Jesus said, I called you so you can bear fruit. He said, and I want you to bear much fruit, and that your fruit should abide. Amen. Amen. Say with me again, I'm in fellowship with God. Oh, that expression, fellowship, is where I think the Father or the Lord wants me to place some emphasis on during this our time. That fellowship, another way to express it, is a participation in such a way that it is not just a matter of God doing something. It's a matter of God and his sons and daughters getting things done. It's a matter of, you say, I don't think I'm that important. The way you're saying it, I'm not that a big deal. Listen to me. You are a big deal. Are you listening to me? In this city, you are a big deal. As far as people's eternities are concerned, you are a big deal. You must play your part. I must play my part. We must do our part in getting the job done. And you see, the beginning of realizing that we are to live in the spirit is to see the importance of that life in the spirit. How far-reaching the consequences are for you and I living in the spirit. For you and I walking in the spirit, or you and I functioning in the spirit. We must function in our place. It's critically important. This fellowship is an association. Somebody say association. It's a divine association between you and God. It's a joint participation. It is a community. It is actually a sharing. A sharing, a partnership. Most of us understand the word partnership. A partnership. You bring your supply, I bring my supply, and then the job is done. If you don't bring your supply, it's like a medical doctor. Doctor can bear me witness. You are in the theater, and you are the surgeon. Maybe you're a neurosurgeon, and you are the best neurosurgeon in the country. But listen to me. If the anesthetist or the nurse who you look down on and speak anyhow about don't bring their supply in that theater room, that superlative, extra special surgeon will not be able to function properly, and that surgery will not be done. The nurse must bring her supply. The person who brings the anesthesia and causes the patient to, you know, sleep off before he will see a knife that is about to, or a saw. Sometimes I know you people use saws in theaters to cut through skulls. Before the patient will see a saw, and he'll vroom, 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 vroom. He says, what do you want to say? We want to cut your skull. Somebody has to put that patient to sleep, all right? Before the person even puts it, Maybe a nurse, usually a nurse. You come and sit with the patient and talk with them and make them feel relaxed. The patient soon forgets that they are about to go into surgery. I'm not talking about those other nurses that you and I know. That when you see them, all the sickness will disappear. Because of how they are going to handle you. They treat you and tell you, thank you, sir. The same thing is like, look, it's not me that impregnated you. Why are you shouting all over the labor ward? Please, can you put yourself together or give you a dirty slap to arrange yourself? That's not a nurse. That's a bully. But a good nurse will play a part, isn't it? Somebody will come and administer something that will make the patient relaxed and sleep off. Before another person will come and just take the vital signs. Another person will carry a bucket. Is it a bucket? Yes, that bucket may be life-saving. Before the brain surgeon can do his or her part. You see, as far as Christianity is concerned, it is a joint partnership between you and God. Let me break it down. As far as your life is concerned, listen to me. You are not just going to sit down there and expect God to do everything and cause all the miracles to happen and you have no part to play. That's not how it works. We have a part to play. We must live in the Spirit. We must bring our supply and say, Spirit of the living God, I'm bringing my supply right now. I'm praying in other tongues about this situation or this circumstance. I really don't know exactly what to do right now. But as I pray in the Spirit, I trust your word. That Romans 8:26 says, for we know not what we should pray about as we ought to. But the Spirit himself makes intercessions for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Now you are bringing your supply. Somebody say, I'm bringing my supply. You are not just sitting down waiting for something to happen and saying, God, you do something. No, he's not our doer, he's our helper. He will help us on the journey of life. He's not going to do your part. He's not going to do the praying. He's not going to do the listening. He's not going to do the fellowship that you are supposed to do. You have to bring your fellowship to his fellowship, and then there will be a communion. He said, draw near to me, and I will what? Draw near to you. It's not as if God is far away. It's not as if he moves up and down. It's just that by the time you take the steps in his direction, you find out that he has been waiting for you for 3 years to make that decision. Somebody say, I'm doing my part. That fellowship requires your contribution. It requires your contribution. It requires your participation. It requires bringing your supply to the table. That is the only time you and I are going to have the kind of communion and life in the Spirit that we are supposed to have. Now, going back quickly to explain further, let me say it this way. There are three basic things. I just said that just as an introduction, just so that we see the big picture. Maybe I should illustrate with a story. So my wife is sitting down here, and maybe I'll use a lot of stories that have to do with her when I'm talking about these things. One day, about, 4 years or 3 years ago, in a waking moment. How many of you have had some of those supernatural experiences in your waking moments? You're just waking up to something supernatural. Sometimes we don't even know it's supernatural and we'll get there. Sometimes we don't realize it's God trying to get our attention. So in a waking moment, she saw one of her brothers. Maybe she will be the better person to tell that story. Maybe I need to remind her. She saw one of her brothers in a waking moment. I don't know. Then what happened? You saw it that he was in an accident. So come and say it. Sorry, I'm so sorry to break the floor, but say it as briefly as you can. Thank you.
Praise God. So I woke up with like a dream. Like I saw my brother's friend and my neighbor, having a chat in the car park. And then as I was going to empty the bin, I saw two unusual snakes. So I didn't like the sight of it. And when I see something I don't like, I just pray in tongues because I don't know what it's about. So I prayed. And then the more I prayed, I noticed that we were in a house and we were mourning. And I've seen that picture before because I've lost my dad and my mom. So I know what it's like when you're mourning. I said, no, devil, not again. You're not coming here. And I prayed some more until I got a note of victory. So that day, everything went well. Nothing happened. And then the next morning, I just woke up. I wanted to do my devotions. I just let me check my messages. This was past 7. And I saw my brother's message that he just got into an accident. One taxi guy was trying to maneuver, and he was in the ditch. Thankfully, there were people around to help. But, you know, by 10 o'clock, as I was driving to work at the traffic light, the Holy Spirit just brought that dream I had. I said, do you remember what you were praying about that day? I was like, yes. He said, this is exactly what you were praying about. And I was, oh my God, that was my brother's friend. You know, he was trying to tell me something about Tola, your brother. And I just started thanking God that I responded, even though it didn't make sense, but I picked something up and just prayed in the Spirit.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, listen, think about it. Someone is in a dream, in a trance, in something. You don't even know the technical term for it, and you don't need to know. But God got your attention. How many people has God tried to get their attention about their family members before? How many people? Let me see your hands. Ah, okay. Some of us. Here she was just minding her business, and then she saw a mourning situation. Somebody's mourning, and it's her brother's friend. So her brother's friend is telling her something about her brother and something that was going to, or something that happened. But you see, God got her attention about that. When God got her attention about that, listen to me, God has done his part. Say with me, God has done his part. It is now left for her to do what? To respond in fellowship. To respond in communion to what her fellowship partner, God, is bringing to her. God is getting her attention and say, hey, there's this situation, you need to pray about it. Sometimes it's not a prayer. Somebody say, sometimes it's not a prayer. Sometimes you just need to take a step. Sometimes you just need to make a move. And God will flag you down and get your attention so that you go in the right direction. So that you don't miss out on opportunities. Amen. Some of the things you are believing God for, it's a matter of going in the right direction and you'll find them. I say that again. I believe that's for someone. Some of the things you are really believing God for, and you're standing in faith and confessing, and your face is almost turning into a confession. The real answer to it is just being in fellowship and getting the right direction. To know where to find what you are looking for. It may just be in your neighbor's house. Amen? A few days ago, somebody called me. And I'm going back to say the things I want. But I think it's good to lay this foundation so that we see what we're talking about when we're talking about life in the Spirit. Oh, if she didn't respond in fellowship. Somebody say in fellowship. To what was happening. That means she wasn't living in the Spirit. Or she wasn't walking in the Spirit. Well, there's no telling what could have happened to her brother. Amen? A few days ago, someone said, I need to talk to you. There's this problem. There's this situation. And your name has just constantly been coming to me to talk to you about it. And then I just had to call you. I was reluctant, but I just had to call you. I said, okay, what's the situation? I said, well, before I tell you, you see, about 3 weeks ago, I was in the UK, or 4 weeks ago. And, you know, one of those times I just saw your face. And I saw that I ought to reach out to you and say something to you about this situation. I said, when exactly did you say this was? She said, about 4 weeks ago. So I wanted, what were you waiting for 4 weeks? That was my question. What were you waiting for 4 weeks? She said, I don't know. I was just reluctant. You know, many things that God is bringing to attention, we are reluctant about. Your miracle is just hanging around you. And you are reluctant about it. So I said, let me tell you what you don't know. Because God sees and knows all things. So I told her, listen, you said you were in the UK, right? She said, yes. I said, where were you in the UK? She said, I was in London. I said, at that time, God brought that thing to you. Eh? I was in London. I was there for 1.5 weeks. At that time, that God was getting... This matter that she's talking about is serious. By the time she told me, it's life-threatening. And she was reluctant about what God was. She said, oh, now it makes sense. I was wondering why God was bringing it. Listen to me. Some of us are waiting for an angel to come in the night and say, now this is a vision from above. Listen to me. The word of God says to us, it says in the last days, Joel 2:28, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. It says your sons and daughters shall prophesy. It says your young men shall see visions. It says your old men shall dream dreams. Upon my servants and my handmaidens in those days will I do what? Pour out of my spirit. And this is that day. Isn't this that day? This day started from the day of Pentecost. So in this day that we live in, let me say it like this. Visions should be commonplace. Many of you have even had visions. You didn't know that it was a vision you had. She had a vision. She had a vision that I was right there next door to her, and she could just have walked to my house and speak to me about the situation. But she was reluctant for 4 weeks because she did not know it was a vision that she had. Some of you have had revelations from God. Some of you have had word of knowledge, word of wisdom. There has been discerning of spirits. There has been a demonstration of the power of God towards you, but you just couldn't recognize it. And because of that, you couldn't take advantage of it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Say amen like you mean it. Amen. Amen. God wants us to be aware of what is happening in the spirit, because that's where we were born. Now, in order for us to function well and to live in the spirit, there are three major things I want to say. The first one is this. Know yourself. Know yourself. Know yourself. Know you. Understand yourself. When I say know yourself, I'm not talking about knowing yourself as an Ijesha woman. I'm not talking about knowing yourself as an Edo man. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying understand how you were made by God. Know yourself according to the scriptures. Man, woman, child, everyone under the sound of my voice or watching us online, we are all spirit beings. We are all what? Spirit beings. We have a soul. We live in a physical body. God created man in his image and in his likeness. Genesis 1:26-28. He created us in his image and likeness. And when he said he created us, he's not talking about our physical bodies. He's talking about the essence of who you really are. And the person you really are is that you are a spirit being. John 4:24, Jesus said that God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If God is a spirit and he made us in his image and like himself, then of necessity, each of us must be spirit beings. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, I pray that your whole spirit and soul and body. Somebody say spirit and soul and body. That's who you are. You are a spirit being. You have a soul. You live in a physical body. You see, with your physical body, you contact this physical realm. Because of your physical body, you can have interactions and you can function properly in this physical world that we are in. Taking my time to teach. With your soul, your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions, you can connect to that solical realm. Without your emotions, you won't feel love or anger or pain or sorrow. You won't feel any of that. Without your intellectual capacity in your mind, you won't be able to do arithmetic or mathematics or comprehend physics or do philosophy or any intellectual activity for that matter. But with our soul, we contact that physical, that solical realm where our will is, our intellect is, our emotions are. If you understand what I'm saying, say amen. Amen. And you see, with our spirits, we contact the spiritual realm. And we function in that realm because we are spirit beings. If we are just spirit beings, that have no physical body, then we cannot adequately function in this physical realm. We cannot be effective in this physical realm. You wouldn't be able to hold this microphone. If I didn't have my body, I wouldn't be able to hold this microphone. I won't be able to speak this evening in this service. You won't be able to give me a high five. I won't be able to go to school. I won't be able to greet my mother because I don't have what it takes to function in this physical realm, which is my physical body. But because I have it, I can function here. Listen to me. Because you are a spirit being, you can function in the spirit realm. Because that's the kind of being that God made you. Now, he's speaking about God and us. Just to see how close. I believe that one of the reasons we find it hard to function in the spirit realm is because we don't really understand ourselves. We don't really understand who we are. We see God as a spirit being. But do you see yourself as a spirit being? Are you conscious of the fact that you are actually a spirit being? You are a being that... If I say now, hey, everybody, see spirit coming into this church. People hear ghost, ghost, ghost. Have you ever asked yourself, why are Christians or people generally scared of ghosts? What is a ghost? Huh? What is a ghost to you? If I say, I saw a ghost last night, what comes to your mind? I saw a spirit. A dead person. Abi? Yeah, but it's funny that we can say Holy Ghost, but... If I say, all of you here, you are ghosts. People say, Jesus name, God forbid, but I'm not a ghost. But you find it easy to say, Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost was moving. Is he dead? Is he dead? He's not dead. So, permit me to call all of you here ghosts in this place. You are all ghosts. Ghosts everywhere. Because you are all spirit beings. The word ghost in Bible and spirit mean the same thing. It's the same thing essentially. Now, listen to me. We are so close to God in our makeup, in our spiritual makeup, that it was so easy for God the Son, the second person of the Godhead, to live in a physical body upon the earth and he was comfortable there. That's how close we are to God. Sometimes we think God is one mysterious being. Let's demystify the mystery. There is no mystery about God. Jesus has revealed him. Are you listening to me? God is not a mysterious being. If I tell this as a joke sometimes, but I mean it. If you live to be 90 or 88, or you are tired of being on earth, and Jesus tarries in his coming, and you want to die and go to heaven, and you die. You say, let me bless my children. And you bless all of them. You carry your body. You sleep. You die the Christian death. And when you wake up on the other side, you see a being that has 17 heads. That has his leg is long from here to UI. He has 700 mouths. His tongue is like a python. And he's sitting on a throne. Listen to me. It's not God you saw. You need to sleep again and come back here first. Because it's not mysterious. The Bible says concerning him, listen to me. And I'm saying this because I want us to realize how close we are to God. And how we can so easily function in the spirit without stress. It's not a hard thing to function in the spirit. It's one of the easiest things ever to function in the spirit. The Bible says concerning God, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth. So this God has eyes. The one who sits on the throne, he has eyes. The Bible says, Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, right? But by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro the earth, isn't it? The Bible says concerning him that the finger of God does valiantly. The hand of God, even his right hand of righteousness. Oh, he has a right hand. The Bible says that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Oh, so he has a right hand. If he has a right hand, he obviously has a left hand. Amen? those of you that they cannot give anything with the left hand. If God gives you something with his left hand, I hope you will collect it. The Bible says that the heaven is his throne, right? And the earth is his footstool. The Bible talks about his foot. The Bible says he sits, he that sits upon the throne. So he actually sits. So God can sit down. So God is not a floating mass of air, floating all over the universe without shape, without form. He's not like that. He is our Father and we look like him. We look like him. If you see him, you will know that that's your Father because you look like him. When we see him, we are not going to see a strange being. When we see him, the Bible says we shall be like him. Because God is a spirit. He is a being. And he created us in his own image and in his likeness. Now, because man is a spirit being, an eternal spirit being, he was created to fellowship with that God. Somebody say fellowship. The reason you and I can fellowship with God is because we are spirit beings, like God is a spirit being. And we can function in the spirit realm. Let's look at this new man in Christ. If a person is born again, anyone who is born again, who is a child of God, was fathered in the spirit by God. In other words, God gave birth to that person, spiritually speaking. In John 1:12, where verse 11 says, as many as came to him, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the authority to become what? The sons of God. So as we come to Jesus, what happens is that he fathers us in Christ. He becomes our Father in Christ Jesus. That man that is born again is described in Scripture. The reason I'm taking time to look at him is because we need to understand him in order for us to function in the Spirit. If we don't understand ourselves, we can't function properly in the Spirit. If you don't understand your natural makeup, can you function well in the natural world? You can't function well. You can't function well. You might give birth to a child. If you don't understand, you give birth to a child. You love the child so much. And you want the child to sleep. Then you say, if I block his nose and I shut his mouth from crying, then he will sleep. And you will block his nose and shut his mouth and kill the child. He will truly stop crying forever. Because we don't understand the child. We don't understand what we are made of. We don't know certain things in the natural. We can't function in them if we are not aware of them. Let's understand that man that is a spirit. What is he called in the Bible? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, the Bible calls him the hidden man of the heart. He is hidden. He cannot be seen with the physical eyes. He cannot be touched with my physical hands. So, this man we're talking about, that is to function in the spirit, is not someone that is tangible to me, naturally speaking. Oh, you see why people struggle to function in the spirit? Because the real man that is to function in the spirit is not physically perceived. You can't touch him physically. What is the danger in that? He is easily forgotten about. He is easily relegated to the background. We know how we prize education. Oh, we send people to school. You must go to primary school. By the time you are 5 or 6, you must go to secondary school. You must go to the university to get intellectual training. And then physically too. You know what we do? Oh, I want to be physically fit. You must eat right. These days of physical fitness. You must run 6 kilometers a day. I don't know about that. You must go to the gym. Because we all want to be what? Physically fit and have 6 packs. Thank God for my 1 pack. Amen. Maybe someday to become 6. Maybe when I have a new body in heaven. Bodily exercise profits little, right? So let's do it. Because we understand ourselves physically. Because we understand ourselves intellectually, we can function well. But you see, if we don't know who we are spiritually, then we'll find it hard to function in the spirit. When God is getting our attention for that fellowship, we say things like this. My mind just told me. My mind told me. Has your mind told you something before? It's not your mind that is telling you something. It's coming from the innermost person, your spirit being. And the thought is coming to your mind from that man. And that man on the inside is trying to get the attention of your thinking faculty to get you to do what is right. But you say, my mind just told me. Sometimes we say things like this. Something told me. Has something told you something before? It's not something. It's not something. It's the witness of the Spirit of God in your spirit that is getting your attention. And you see, ignoring that witness can mean life or death. Is that serious? And you now say, I don't know why that thing happened to me. I don't know. When you wanted to invest that money, something told you you shouldn't invest it, true or false. Is not something. That is Romans 8, 14 to 16 at work. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. He says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Verse 16 says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. So there is the Spirit of God. There is a witness. There is your spirit. If you don't understand that simple thing, when the Holy Ghost is bearing witness in your heart about your future, somebody say, about my future, how you are going to become a billionaire, the Holy Ghost is bearing witness with you and saying, you better take that job that is paying only 50,000 today and doesn't look like anything. Say, God forbid, I've been believing God for a job. My job is a million. I'm in the million realm. And he said, take the 50K job. The witness is there. Take the 50. Or the witness says, listen to me. That guy may not look like anything today, but marry him. The witness is telling you. I say, God forbid, may I should marry somebody whose one trouser is shorter than the other one. And this way, I beg, I know if you marry red and black. You can miss that witness and miss a large part of your future. And there is nothing spectacular about it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? It's not an angelic visitation. There's no voice from heaven. It's just a witness of God in your heart that says, go in this direction. Don't go to Canada. Go to UK. Say, no, Canada is the place. The grass is green in Canada. The grass is green. Listen to me. Your miracle is waiting for you in the UK where he sent you to go. Don't go to Canada. Oh, I don't even know who I'm talking to this evening. But if you are the one, say amen. You need to understand yourself. You are a spirit being. When God is going to speak to you, he's not going to speak to you in your head. He doesn't use calculator. God is not going to bring out the calculator and calculate. And when he finishes, say, see money in Canada, money. He may tell you to sit down in Ibadan. Somebody say Ibadan. If he says sit down in Ibadan, listen to me, in this Ibadan, you will become all that God wants you to become. From this Ibadan, they will come and look for you from the ends of the earth. Understand that you are not an intellect. You are not an emotion. Don't marry by emotions. Amen. If you are married, you are already married. Sorry. But if you are still single, you are blessed. Don't marry by emotion, oh. Brother John, Pastor's PA. They are not Pastor's PA at home. Oh. Brother John used to do anyhow at home. He will eat all the food and he will not wash his plate. Somebody say amen. Yeah. But when he's coming to church, he suit his three piece. He said, move for pastor. Pastor is going to think he's like that at home. I don't have a microphone at home. I mean, do I have one? I don't have one. Maybe, man of God, you have one at home, sir. I don't have. We don't use microphone. Listen to me. Whatever he's leading you to do, and this is what I'm saying, you need to understand you and how you function in the spirit so that you can function well. You are a spirit being. And that man in the Bible is called the hidden man. He is in hiding. Just like I cannot see your brain and I don't want to see your brain. He's in hiding. It's better not seeing. is behind the curtains. He is not the person you are looking at right now. I've never seen you before and you have never seen me before. You are just seeing the house I live in and I see the house you are living in too. The way your clothes cover your body is the way your body covers your spirit. So the real person we are dealing with is not the physical one. It's the one on the inside. He is called the hidden man of the heart. The Bible also calls him the inner man. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 talks about him. Paul said, I bow my knees to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Somebody say inner man. So when somebody calls you ugly, it's because they've never met you before. You are an inner man. You are not an outward man. There is an inner man. He lives on the inside. He functions with God on the inside. Nothing on the outside may look correct, but the man on the inside is in touch with God. He's in union with God. God is constantly speaking with him. God is directing him. God is showing him things. Somebody say visions. Visions should not be scarce in the church. Revelations should not be scarce in the church. That man is called the inner man. The inner man. These days, if you listen a little bit, younger people, to all the music playing on the radio waves and all the albums being released, there is only one thing everybody is referring to, and it is your body. It's all about the body. Man is not a body, he's a spirit. If your attention is on the body, you miss out the real person. Some people are just married to the other person's body. Some people just like the other person's body. They don't know the person at all. They don't know who they are getting involved with. Man is a spirit. He is called the inner man. Another name is called is the inward man. The inward man. It sounds like the inner man, right? Paul said in Romans chapter 7, I believe verse 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You see, it's that man that needs to function. So we need to extray and understand who that man is. He's called the inward man. The inward man. The inward man. In Romans chapter 2, verses 28 to 29. Romans 2, let's read together if we can. From Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. Somebody say, outward in the flesh. He said that the real thing, real Christianity, is not outward in the flesh. Where is it? He said, but he is a Jew who is one where? Inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit. Who, not of the letters, whose praise is not of men, but from God. Not in the flesh, but in the spirit. Not the outward man, but the inward man. The inner man, not the outward man that we can see. So this man we're talking about, we can't even see him with our physical eyes. Another name he's called is I. Somebody say I. I. He's called I. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul said, I put my body under. I put my body under. He separated himself from his body. You want to separate yourself from your body, amen? Let me come closer. I say you want to separate yourself from your body. You are not a body. You and your body are not the same. You see this body? It's just the house you live in. No matter how big it is, it's just the house you live in. No matter how yellow it is, it's just the house you live in. No matter how black it is, but at least please try and wash it regularly. Somebody say amen. But it's not you. That's not the real you. The real you is the man on the inside. He said, I put under my body. I bring it into subjection. So he separates himself from his physical domain or his physical body. So you are more than a body. You are a spirit being. Now, a believer, a Christian, listen to this. A Christian is a spirit being that is born of God. What it means to be a Christian is that you are born of God. Jesus said, the thief cometh not to steal, but to kill and to destroy. John 10:10. He said, but I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So Christianity is the impartation of the life of God to the spirit of a man. When that life is imparted to the spirit of that man who was dead in his sins and trespasses, he comes alive. He comes alive to God. Now, because he's alive to God, he can function together with God. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 1. Let's read together. Just to illustrate and clarify this. Ephesians 2 from verse 1. It says, and you as he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So somebody can be physically alive but spiritually dead. You understand what that means? Yeah, there are many people who are physically alive but they're spiritually dead. What does it mean to be spiritually dead? They are separated from God. They are not in contact or in vital fellowship with the living God. He said, he has quickened us or made us alive who were dead, in which you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now walks in the children of disobedience. Look at verse 3. It says, among whom we all had our conduct in the lust of our flesh, feelings, as of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy, amen, because of his great love wherewith he loved us. Verse 5 says, even when we were dead in trespasses, has made us alive together with Christ. Then he says in bracket, by grace. So this is the meaning of salvation. What it means to be saved is to be what? Quickened with the life of God, made alive together with Christ. Oh, so I'm not dead spiritually, I'm alive spiritually and in contact with God. You see, that man that is born again, the first thing I said is what? He's born of God. Number two thing about him, you see in Ephesians 2 verse 1 to 5, is that he's alive to God. Oh, if more Christians just knew that they were alive to God, it would be so easy to function with God. Some people think it's so hard to hear from God, whereas it's so easy to hear from God. It's too easy. You need somebody to confuse you about it. Why? Because the person speaking to you is not just merely close to you. It's not just a close friend. You know, you can have a close friend, and when your close friend is saying something to you, you understand what they are saying. God is not just very, 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 very close to me. He lives inside me. How can I miss what somebody that lives in me is saying to me? I need help to miss it. I need to go and get a professor of theology to confuse me about it. Somebody say it's easy. Say it like you mean it. It's easy. It's easy to function in the spirit if we just knew that we are alive to God. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. He said, the voice of a stranger, they don't know. Hey, I don't know. Have you ever seen sheep and shepherd relationship before? A shepherd that didn't go to school and a sheep that didn't learn linguistics, they are communicating with each other and they understand what they are saying to one another. How? I researched a little bit about what Jesus was saying about the sheep and the shepherd. That my sheep hear my voice and they know me, they follow me. I found out that in Jesus' day and time, in Oriental world, when sheep and shepherd go out to flock or to graze or to water, all, maybe you have 10 sheepfolds, 10 shepherds, they all go to the same watering troughs. Maybe they go to a river. So you have 10 shepherds and you have 10 herds of sheep, maybe 200 each, maybe 300 each. They all go and they all go to the same place to go and water, to drink from the same river. When they get there, guess what happens? All the sheep mix up. They don't have number.
They don't have a national identity number, NIN. They don't have tribal marks. No passports, nothing, no ID card. They mix up when they are drinking. They mix up. They are there for 30 minutes, 1 hour. They are drinking. When Shepherd John is ready to go, Shepherd John simply steps out and makes a call sign to his sheep. Somebody say call sign. He doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak Hebrew. He doesn't speak Greek. He doesn't have a Bible interpretation. He doesn't do bibliology. He doesn't, nothing. He just speaks the call sign. When he gives the call sign, maybe you've seen some of these guys who herd sheep around. Maybe you've seen what they do, or you've heard this kind of sounds they make. Have you ever heard them before? Sometimes it's just, you can make the, and the shepherd makes the same sound. They will never follow you. The shepherd just makes that sound. All his sheep will follow him. They will separate themselves. If there are 10,000 there, and his sheep are only 5, the 5 will come out. If there are 200, and there are 10,000, they will separate themselves and follow their shepherd. Listen to me. Jesus said, the way my sheep know me is the way a natural sheep knows his shepherd. You know him more than you realize. You are more familiar with him than you have seen. We thought that we didn't know him. So when supernatural things are happening, we don't recognize them as supernatural. We think they're just natural things. I just felt in my heart, I should go and visit that woman. That's how I felt in my heart. I should go and visit somebody one day. That day was a strange day. Because the day, I was still in the University of Ibadan. It was a fellowship day. And as a fellowship member, you're supposed to go to fellowship, Abby. It's not fellowship day. I now started knowing in my heart, I should go and visit one sister. Somebody say sister. On fellowship day. I told myself, what is this one now? But you know what? I couldn't deny that it was God. I knew it was God. Just like you know, it is God. When you know in your heart, and God is telling you, don't make friends with that guy. You know it is God. Don't you know? You know now. But because you are forgotten that you are a spirit being, and you are so emotionally driven, and his pastor's protocol in his church, you calculate everything, you measure, you say, this one is the right one. Then he will not break your heart in tiny, tiny, tiny pieces. Tiny, tiny. We're using microscope to look for the tiny bits of your heart so we can bring it together and present it to Jesus for curative measures. So I had this leading in my spirit. I just knew I should go and see that person. I went there, female hostel on fellowship day. I was so reluctant. I was so unwilling. My flesh was, no, now, not today. Can I not go another day? She's not my girlfriend. We're just classmates. I went there. I got there. The bad part of it is that I didn't even know why I was going there. Shebi, if God sends you a message, he will tell you what to say when you get there. Now I'm there. I don't know what to say. I sat down. She said, sit down. I sat down. I was looking. She was looking. I was looking. She was looking. She said, what is it? I said, then I just started speaking. Because I didn't have any particular thing to say, sir. So I started speaking. I don't remember what I said. God is my witness. I don't remember anything. Till today, I don't remember what I said. When I finished talking, I felt a release in my heart to go. So I said, I'm done. He said, okay. I thought you had something important to say. I've said what I finished. I carried my kaya and left. About a week later, this same lady, we are friends till today, she called me. She said, I want to tell you something. I said, what do you want to tell me? He says that day that you came to my room. And I said, yes. What about it? She said, just before you came, I already prepared the poison I wanted to drink. True life story. I can corroborate because she's alive. She didn't die. I already prepared the poison I wanted to drink. I was just about to drink it and then you knocked on the door. I was like, who is this evil person? She was like, who is this person that came to disturb my plan now? She said, so I kept it in the corner and opened the door for you. So When I was asking you, what do you want to say? What do you have to say? And you said, you don't know. I was like, eh. So you don't even know why you are here. She said, it was what you said that day that changed my mind. I said, what did I say? Because I can't remember anything. Honestly, I don't know what I said. See, that was the first time I know in my life that that scripture, open your mouth and I'll feel. Because I don't have a mental recollection of what I said. She said, that's the only reason that they have not announced my obituary. It was because you came that day. Somebody say, life in the spirit. One day I was walking behind my desk in the bank. Another story, I'm just telling you my life experiences. I was walking behind the desk in my bank. It was a busy day. There was this queue in my banking hall. I was looking at all these tellers. I'm like, do we need robots here to work? What's going on? Why are they not working so fast? I was too busy. Right there inside the office, I had a prompting in my heart to pick my phone and go and call one first timer that came to church for the first time on Sunday. This is like a Tuesday afternoon. Like, which one is called first? This is not time to call first timer. Reluctantly. It took me a while. I ran to the back office. I picked my phone. I dialed the number. Three rings or so. Somebody picked on the other side. I said, hello. He said, hello, who is this? Person is not interested in that conversation. You know when somebody doesn't want to hear your voice? I said, yes, this is so-and-so from so-and-so church. You came to our church on Sunday for the first time. I'm just calling to that. Said, hey, so what? I started talking. 1 minute, 2 minutes, 3 minutes. I don't know what. Honestly, today, I don't remember what I said again. I finished what I was saying. I said, do you understand everything I said? She said, yes, I understand. I dropped the call. I went back to my work, continued my work. 2 weeks later, I saw this person in church. She said, you just disturbed my plan that day. I was ready to end my life that day. Everything I was going to use, I had prepared it. Second time in my life. Everything I wanted to use to finish my life, just to end it, I had prepared it. And then my phone rang. I said, should I pick it? Should I not pick it? Should I pick it? She said, let me pick it. I don't know who this is. Maybe. So she picked it. It was what I said again. Second time. Let me tell you something. If you will yield to God and he will use you in a particular direction, he will use you like that again. He said, it was what you said, though. That's why I didn't kill myself. And she came to the front of the church to say it publicly. Thank God I called. Amen. Someone could have died. Sometimes we don't understand how important the role we play is because we don't understand how we ourselves function. That man that is born again, as we begin to close, we have just 5 minutes more. I don't know, maybe I didn't excite you today, but at least I've said what I feel God wanted me to say. That man that is born again, another thing about him is this. He is the house of God. He is the temple of the living God. God lives in that person. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us. He says, you have overcome them, little children. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are the temple of God. You didn't hear me well, I know. When it is dark at night and the enemy tries to bring fear to you, you are not alone. You are the temple of the living God. When the most difficult and challenging circumstances of life face you, and it looks like this is the last day, it's all ending now, I'm going to lose this. Listen to me. Don't forget, the greater one is on your inside. You are the temple of the living God. When it looks like you don't have a direction, you don't know which way to go, you don't know which direction to talk, listen to me. The answer you are looking for is not far away and is not abroad. The answer is on your inside. Because that paraclete is on the inside of you. The advocate is on the inside. Are you listening to me? Someone that is concerned about your case lives inside you. The advocate is inside you. The counselor is inside you. You say, what does it have to be functioning in the spirit? Listen to me. This is how the Spirit of God will carry out his ministry in your life. Tomorrow I'm going to be talking about the anointing. And how the anointing works in our lives. That comforter is on your inside. You need comfort. You are feeling sorrowful and sad. Someone has done something unthinkable, betrayed you, backstabbed you. They didn't show up on your wedding day. Yeah, it happens. People print wedding invitation, plan wedding, and the bride doesn't show up. Or the groom doesn't show up. It happens. How does that person get over that kind of situation? Listen to me. There is a comforter on your inside. He knows what a million sorries cannot do. The comforter will comfort you in those areas. You lost your mother. Oh, you lost your father. And it's so painful. They pray for you. They lay hands on you, lay legs on you, put you inside water, bring you outside water, put you in the sun, put you out of sun, put you in fire, put you out of fire. The pain is still there. Listen to me. You have a comforter on the inside. Yield to him. Let him comfort you. He is your helper. Are you listening? You don't need to look to the hills. Your helper lives in you. He is your strengthener. He is your standby. And he's with you 24/7. He never goes on holiday. You need to know that you are God. God is on the inside. We need to be God inside minded. We need to stop thinking about God as if he's far away in the skies, in the heavens. We have to shout so loud before he can hear my prayers. Listen to me. He lives in you. He lives in you. So it makes it easy to function in the spirit because the person you are functioning with lives in you already. He's not far away. So as you are walking home today, there are some things he may tell you. There are some directions he may give you. There's something he may bring to your attention. There's something he may make you see. Somebody say amen. It may just make you see something. Something may just run in front of your eyes like a television screen. And that thing you have been looking for, you know exactly where it is. It's as simple as that. It becomes easy. It is our natural functioning place, the supernatural. That man that is born again, finally, before we go today, is joined to God. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Without him, we can do nothing. But without us, he will do nothing. We are joined to him as one. We function with him. He functions with us. We need him. He needs us. You say, God needs me. Yes, God needs you. He needs you in your family. He needs you to pray. He needs you to stand in the gap. He needs you to be sensitive. He needs you to pay attention to what is happening spiritually around you. He needs you. He needs you to carry out his will upon the earth. So don't slack in your business. Somebody say amen. Bible says, be not slothful in business, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. That man is joined to the Lord. And he that is joined to the Lord is what? Is one spirit with him. We are not divided spirits. We are not scattered spirits. We are not many spirits. We are not confused spirits. Say, I don't know what God is doing right now. You know what God is doing because you are joined to the Lord as one. If you are joined to somebody, you are twinned with the person. You can function with them easily, without stress, without strain. Concerning those situations, go ahead and play. Those circumstances that have looked impossible to fix, listen to me. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. What do you need to do? Get back to your closet. Say, Lord, I'm going to pray out the answer now. I'm going to speak forth the result now. I'm going to pray forth the answer. The answer is coming forth. Because I'm joined to you, I know what to do. I know what steps to take to unravel this mystery. I know what steps to take to unravel this mystery. This circumstance that looks impossible, with you, nothing shall be impossible. And you and I are joined together as one. So I'm going to just spend time fellowshipping with you and bring forth the answers that I need in life. Because you have the answers. Let's spend some time just praying in the spirit and worshiping the Lord. Just yield to him in praise, in worship, in adoration, in thanksgiving. In thanksgiving. In thanksgiving. Go ahead. I'm waiting for you. We do this quickly and we are out of here. In thanksgiving. in thanksgiving. Be careful for nothing. Have no anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayers and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I'm joined to the Lord. I'm one spirit with Him. I'm in fellowship with God. There is a communion going on between me and God. I have the answers. I see the answers. I know the answers. I hear the answers. I hear in the spirit. I see in the spirit. I recognize in the spirit. I know what to do. I know what to say. I hear things. I see things. I recognize things in the spirit. Oh yes, I do. I'm not ignorant. I'm not ignorant. I'm not unaware. Oh yes, because I'm in fellowship with God. He has called me onto a fellowship, onto a communion, onto a rest, onto a refreshing. Oh, I function in Him. I function in Him. The answers are coming up as we're praying in the spirit, as we're thanking God. The answers are floating up. You might just see a vision in this place. You might just have a supernatural utterance, a prophecy, a tongue, an interpretation of tongues. Any good thing can happen. Any good thing can happen. It's you and God tied up together as one. You are joined to the Lord. You are joined to the Lord. You are one spirit with Him. Thank you, Father. Lebro sapela katize veliba raboshi. Lima rotu supede kayadi.